Good morning.
Good morning. Yep.
Lovely to be with you today. I want to read a scripture that some of you will know quite well, others may not, from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. I want you to listen. If you've got your Bibles, turn to it. But listen to this scripture. It's a very important one. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. I'm going to read it again. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. I've got a very simple message that I want to bring to you today, and it's about praise. I honestly feel that most Christians do not take this verse of scripture seriously. It's a very important verse. This is what it's saying again, talking to the church, through Jesus, therefore, let us, the church, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. I don't think that the church praises God enough. And I don't think that praising God should be contained to a Sunday morning before the church service or during the church service where we sing a few songs together and that's it for the rest of the week. It says, let us continually. What does continually mean? All the time. Paul says it on three different occasions. In Colossians, Thessalonians and Ephesians, he says we're to give thanks to God at all times for all things. He says it clearly, giving thanks to God. Praising God is something that we should really do more often than what we do.
Yes.
I'm waiting for an amen.
Amen.
It's pretty obvious that you're not interested anyway. We should praise it.
Yes.
I'm going to give you three simple reasons why we should praise God. Number one. Human beings are the only creatures on earth that have the ability to appreciate what God has created.
Amen.
Human beings are the only creatures that can appreciate what God has made. Giraffes can't. Elephants can't. No, how clever your dog is. Your dog can't. They can't give thanks to God and appreciate what He has made. But God has made us in an incredible way that we have the ability to appreciate His creation. David says, the heavens declare the glory of God.
Amen.
I'm really interested in the heavens. I'm interested in astronomy. I do a lot of research and looking into the creation of God. And I've discovered that just recently they have found another 300,000 galaxies. Just found them. Another, not 300 planets or 300,000 planets, but 300,000 galaxies. Oh, you know, that's big.
Huge.
They just discovered that. But there's a whole lot. There are billions of galaxies. Billions of them. Which makes God big. David got an understanding of God's creation. And David didn't have any telescopes. But he would lie on his back and look into the heavens, see the stars and think, wow, what a great creator God is. God is outside of time. He's outside of space. He's outside of matter. God never was created. He's always been. And everything that is was created by Him. Not the Big Bang. Didn't come from the Big Bang. I have done a little bit of research on black holes. Because we hear about the black hole, a lot about black holes. So some atheistic scientists I've suggested there are black holes. So I thought, I'm going to check them out. So I went to Google and I looked into the telescopes, and guess what? There is not one picture of a black hole anywhere. Nobody's ever seen them. Nobody knows where they are. But they're trying to tell us what they do. Why are people looking for black holes that probably don't exist instead of concentrating on the creation that does? Come on. The creation is a beautiful creation, but we're looking for black holes. Stop looking up there for black holes. I'll tell you where the black hole is. Down here. The earth has got a horrible big black hole that sucks everything good into it. Amen? This is where the black hole is. God has created beautiful, wonderful things. And of course, dark matter. There's people who are writing books on dark matter that's never been seen, never been identified, but they've got a strong belief that it's there. These guys have a strong belief that there's black matter when it's not been proven. They have a strong belief that there is black holes that have never been proven or photographed. But they won't believe in God. I'm talking to somebody the other day who was quite atheistic, and I said, you know, I talked about the virgin birth and they just laughed at me. They laughed and poo-pooed the idea that you believe in the virgin birth. What a ridiculous thing that is. I said, why is that so ridiculous? I believe in the virgin birth, but you believe in a virgin universe. Come on. You don't believe God created it. You believe. So I did some research on atheists. This will be interesting. It wasn't from a church. It is estimated that 500 million people are atheists in the world. Now, there's 7 billion people. So 500 million are atheists. 200 million are found in China. Okay? Now, China's got over 1 billion people, and China's supposed to be the strongest communistic, atheistic country in the world, and there's only 200 million, million of them that are atheists. The rest of them are atheists. And maybe you know that China also prints more Bibles than any other country in the world. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know it? Yeah. They print more. Do you know why they print Bibles? Because they found out it's the best-selling book and you can make money out of it. That's the truth. China prints Bibles in every language that is known. They're making money out of it. There's so many people who confess to be atheistic and looking at things that are not there and can't be seen instead of looking at what can be seen. Why should I praise God? Because I can appreciate the wonder of what He has made. Yeah. The glory of what He has made. The majesty of what He... He's big. He's big.
Yes. Amen.
He's bigger than you.
Amen.
He's bigger than your problem. Yeah. He's big. Mm. He's bigger than the whole cosmos. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. He's big. Mm. He's great. He's mighty. He's powerful. And what shows how big and great and powerful He is? It's creation. Mm. Since the last time I came to you, I've got a little bit of a revelation. Because I mentioned this last time, that often I'm thinking, if the universe is as big as it is, and it is massive, the earth on which we live is less than a pinprick.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
That's your earth, which you think is big. Mm-hmm. Come on, the earth looks big, doesn't it, to us, depending what vantage. But it is a pinprick. What if the earth is a pinprick in the cosmos? How big are you? You're less than a pinprick, aren't you?
Yes.
And I was thinking one day, I thought, well, God, why didn't you make us bigger? I'm just thinking, do you ever think things like that? I thought, why aren't we bigger than what we are? Because, you know, why didn't He make us 1,000 kilometers tall? Why are we so tiny in the whole of... And we're somewhere in this cosmos that nobody knows where we are, because there's stars and planets and universes all around. We don't know where we sit, but there's a little pinprick called the Earth. And on that Earth are all these beautiful, incredible creatures and beautiful plants that God has made. Wonderful. I mean, I love the Earth. Yeah. I love the creation of God. I love to see sunsets and sunrises. I love to see valleys and mountains and rivers. I do a bit of oil painting. I just love to see the beauty of what God has made. And I look at men and I think, what incredible creatures we are. How intricate we are made. So I said, well, God, why didn't you make us bigger? And I thought the Lord said to me, I made you the size you are so you could appreciate a little bit the size I am. He's big. He's not only bigger than you, he's bigger than the earth. Not only bigger than the earth, he's bigger than our sun. Not only is he bigger than our sun, he's bigger than our solar system. Not only is he bigger than our solar system, he's bigger than our galaxy. Not only is he bigger than our galaxy, he's bigger than all the galaxies put together. He's big.
Amen.
People look at God as if he's nothing. God is big, powerful, and great. And he will always be.
Yes.
Right. Now, are you listening to me now? I want you to listen. Yeah. I want you to concentrate on this. God is God.
That's right.
And we will spend eternity if we know him and love him now and follow him. We will spend eternity finding out about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I first married my wife, within 3 years being married to her, I said to her on one occasion, honey, I know you like the back of my hand. I know how you think, I know how you feel, I know you. That's 3 years after I was married. I know you like the back of my hand. Well, after being married 50 years, I've realized I don't know her at all. Human beings are incredibly complicated. We're tiny but complicated. But we're going to spend eternity beginning to understand and grasp how great God is. He is big.
Yes.
If after 50 years I don't even understand my wife, I reckon after millions of years I still won't understand God. Come on, because he's bigger than it all.
Right.
Can you say God is good?
God is good.
God is good. All the time.
So the reason, one of the reasons we should praise God is because we can. Don't waste it. You can. You can praise God because he's given you the ability to appreciate what he can do. Now you all appreciate what people can do if they are a singer, musician, an artist, a sportsman. We all appreciate people that can do great things. We like to read stories. We like to appreciate them. Well, how much more should we appreciate the one who created us?
Yes.
Amen.
He's real.
Yes.
He's real.
Yes.
And if you don't appreciate him, it's probably because you're in a black hole. You're in the black hole in which you live. Because this earth has become a black hole. This earth has become something that sucks goodness in and spits it out. This earth has become a place that is hurting God. A place that is breaking the heart of God, where God said, I'm sorry that I even put man on the earth. Not the earth, by the way, hurts God. Not the trees and the valleys and the rivers. The humanity who lives on the earth hurts God because he's in a black hole. So I should praise God because he's big.
Amen.
And he's the creator of all. And the second reason I should praise God is because I need to focus on it. Now when I'm talking about praising God, I mean praising him. I mean giving thanks to him. Notice it says, through Jesus, let us continually give thanks to God. Let us give him the sacrifice of praise, listen, which is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our what?
Lips.
Everybody say lips.
Lips.
Not the fruit of your thinking, but the fruit of your speaking.
Yeah.
Praise is something you speak out. Praise is something you do out loud. Let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, Why? Because when we start to focus on Him, we realize what a good God He is.
Yes.
What a great God He is. What an awesome God He is.
Yes.
I try to think of words that would explain God some weeks back. And do you know the best word I came up with? Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And yet, I hear people use that word awesome. I wish they wouldn't. I've got grandkids. My little grandchild came to me, great-grandchild came to me, he says, "Pop, have you got $5? So I said, "Here you are, $5 for it." He says, "Awesome." I said, "It's not awesome, it's just $5. We use that term awesome, you know, what an awesome footballer he is. What an awesome singer she is. We use this term, and awesome, they're not awesome. The word awesome only applies to God.
Amen.
He is awesome. Everybody say awesome.
Awesome.
Now say God is awesome.
God is awesome. Amen.
Don't use that word for anything else.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Don't you hear me? Some of you use it a lot by habit. Stop it. God is awesome. Next time you say awesome, think about God, because that's what He is. He's a wonderful, glorious, awesome God.
Yes.
He's the best that there is. Amen.
Yes.
When we focus on God through praise, something happens. We stop looking at ourselves, or we stop focusing at the black hole here. We start looking at ourselves, and we start looking at Him.
Yeah.
Do you know, I hate reality shows on TV. Can I say I hate them? I see the adverts of them, you know, My Kitchen Rules, and the marriage ones, you know. And the people behave in such horrible, nasty ways to each other. And I'm thinking, why do I want to sit and watch that rubbish? Where is that edifying me? Where is that building? Well, the other week I was listening to the radio, and a guy came on the program to be interviewed, and this guy is a critic of TV programs, and he writes things. And so, you know, the Channel 7, Channel 9, they like Channel 10, they like if he says good things about their programs. So the guy who was interviewing him says, did you see... there's a new married one, you know. We'll have to go. You know what I'm talking about.
Married at First Sight.
What is it?
Married at First Sight.
Yes, Married at First Sight.
They always advertise.
He said, "Did you see that?" And this is what this critic said. He's not a Christian. He says, "I started to watch it, and after 10 minutes, I got so sick and tired of the rubbish that was there. I switched it over." He said, "Huh? This is a critic. We're supposed to be saying good things about these." Writing up, he said, "I felt so sick and tired of the stupid behaviour, because nobody behaves like that." That's what he says. So he said, "Well, what did you watch?" He said, "Well, I've got a couple of hours to spare. I wasn't really working that night." And he said, "So I flicked through all the channels I've got." So he's got all these channels, he's got Netflix, he's got the lot. And he said, "I came across Hillsong." He said, "I started to watch Hillsong." He said, "Now, I'm not a Christian. I don't go to Hillsong. And I'm not advocating anybody else does." He said, "But you know what?" He said, "I sat there for 2 hours and watched Hillsong, and it was great. Good music, good speaking, good fun." This is a guy who's not a Christian. You can imagine that. I was driving a car at the time. I felt so good. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony that is. That this guy is fed up with what he's seeing with reality TV, so he switched to reality Hillsong. And God bless. You're not looking happy about that. Don't you think that's good? Come on, don't you think that's good?
Yeah.
Reality TV stinks.
Amen.
Because you know what you're doing when you're watching reality TV? You're putting the spotlight on the black hole. Amen. You're putting the spotlight on yourselves. Amen. You put the spotlight on human beings. And you turn the spotlight on human beings and they don't look too good. Remember, I told you once, I'll just repeat this again. I used to be in pest control. I used to have a license to kill. Cockroaches, fleas, and termites, and rats. And on one occasion, we were looking at, because you know fleas bite, they really bite you, you itch. But But you can hardly see a flea. Have you ever tried to look at it?
Yeah.
So we got a flea once in the office, and we got a microscope. We put the flea, which we could hardly see, under the microscope. And guess what? It's an ugly monster. What he would pick up, what an ugly looking creature that is. We put this thing under the microscope and it looks ugly. And it suddenly dawned on me, that's what we do with human beings. We put them under the microscope. Guess what? They're ugly. Come on. We put them up there on the platform on the great footballer, great entertainer, great politician, ooh, and they're ugly. We expose them, and we see mostly in them that which is no good. And we expose something else as well, that no matter how high you climb, no matter how much money you earn, no matter how much people applaud you, in your heart, there's an emptiness if God isn't there. We see this so often with entertainers, whose lives are ruined. Marriages are broken. Families are broken. Many of them are on drugs. Many of them go into all sorts of strange things to try to get. And yet they've reached the top of their profession. They've got people looking at them, applauding them, paying them millions of dollars. And yet inside, something, there's a black hole. They've been eaten away. It's just not life. Don't turn the spotlight on yourself because you're ugly. Did you hear me?
Don't
look at me so spiritual. Don't look at me like that, so spiritual. I'm telling you, I've been a pastor long enough to know like this pastor here that you're ugly. And guess what? So are we. Without God, we're ugly. Without God, we're greedy. Without God, we're selfish. Without God, we're prideful. Without God, we see a world that is absolutely in a mess. A mess. So many hot spots where wars could start. We have enough ammunition and enough bombs to destroy life as we know it, but we're still making more. How many of you know that's ugly? Come on.
Yeah.
Ugly. Don't get me wrong. I love people. I ought to need to become a preacher. I love people. I don't love what people do, but I love people. And I feel sorry for people because they're misguided in a black hole, sucking them dry, and yet they won't turn to God and find the source of life. When you praise God, you're praising someone that loves you, that cares for you. And the Bible says, God is good.
Amen.
What he does is good.
Amen.
Now you may say, it's all right for you to preach, pastor, like that. You know, a lot of pastors preach like that. But that's, you know, you want to follow me home. You want to come and live with me for a week. You want to see what my wife's like. Just try and put with her for a week and just see what it's like. Oh, you want to see what my husband's like? What a bully he is. You're talking like this, but the reality is, out there, where is God? You're a preacher, you've got to preach like this. Well, let me just tell you something. I've been preaching now since I was 16. I'm now nearly 78. I've been preaching since the age of 16, so I've seen a lot. I've pastored for many, many years. I've seen death on many, many occasions. I've had to visit my family many, many times. So I understand what death and separation is. I understand hardship. I understand. I was brought up in a slum. I wasn't brought up wealthy. My mother hated my dad and he hated her. And he was a drunkard. He was always fighting and brutality. And she had 8 kids. And we had no money. During the war, I was born. After all, there was nothing. So I know what poverty is. I know what hardship is. I know what the bad side is. But I got saved at an early age, thank God. I gave my heart to Jesus as a teenager.
Amen.
But of late, I have been going through something that, to me, has been the hardest test in my life. My wife was diagnosed with dementia about 9 years ago. And I nursed her the best as I can. Along, you know my wife.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why she's got dementia. And then nearly 12 months ago, I had to put her into a nursing home because I couldn't look after her anymore. She needed so much care. My lovely wife, this year I've been married 59 years. She got children, beautiful children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She supported me as I've pastored over the years, supported and raised a family while I've been out preaching and doing missionary work, and you name it, she's done it. And then she suddenly gets struck with dementia. Don't you think I've got a few questions to ask God? Because I've got a lot. When last year I took her to a nursing home, and it's a good nursing home, God opened a beautiful door for us. It was a miracle how God got us into this lovely nursing home. We hear a lot about nursing homes. This one is a good one. And when I went away, when I came out, I left her there, and she was still at times of when she knew what was happening, and she reached out for me, saying, "Don't go, don't leave me, don't leave me." And I just had to leave her. I sat in my car and I cried. This was last year. I wept and said, "God, this is not fair. This shouldn't be. Why is my beautiful wife in this condition that she's in?" A year later, she hardly recognizes me now. When I go in to see her and I feed her, and she has to be fed because you put the meal in front of her, she doesn't know what to do. You have to open her mouth and feed her. She's incontinent. And sometimes she recognizes me, mostly she doesn't. And I think, God, why is this? I'm much sooner she going to be with you in heaven. And she was worried and agitated and afraid. I see all those things in her. And so I started praying, obviously praying for a healing, but I prayed, "God, give her peace." When I prayed that prayer, "God, give her peace," the scripture came to me, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." And the voice in my head says, "Don't be silly. She can't have her mind stayed on God because she's got dementia. She doesn't know anything. So she can't get peace." That's what a voice said in my head. And then another scripture came to me that says, "And the peace of God that passes all understanding will garrison your heart and mind." I said, "Thank you, God. That's the scripture I need."
That's right. Amen.
It passes understanding.
That's right.
My wife hasn't got the capacity for understanding peace as she is now, but I pray for peace for her. Because the Bible says God will give it.
Guess what? Amen.
She's in a wonderful peace.
Mm-hmm.
And she, most of the time, is quite joyful now. And she's in peace. It's really wonderful. And there was a lady there who's a lovely African lady who's a Christian. Her name is Martha. Lovely name for a Christian. And at Christmas she went back to Africa to see a family. And while she was there, she bought some dresses, African dresses. Colourful African dresses. Reds and whites and orange and colourful. And she brought them back and she dressed my wife in one of them because she knew I was coming to visit her. She dressed my wife, put a little bit of lipstick on her, put some earrings in her hair, combed her hair beautifully. And when I came in, I saw my wife. Now, my wife hadn't got a clue she's got that dress on, because if she did, she'd take it off. My wife was a very conservative dresser, let me tell you. I've got photographs of her in this. Honestly, it glares at you, this dress does. But she don't know, so she's got it on. And this lady, I said to her, "Thank you for doing that." I said, "What do I owe you?" She bought about 4 dresses for it. She said, "You don't owe me anything." I said, "Come on, I want to pay for it." "No, I'm not letting you pay. I'm doing this because she's a lovely lady, and she's a Christian, and she's been a pastor's wife. I want to bless her." Don't you think that's nice?
Yes.
People do some good things. And so there's my wife, sitting in God, what African dresses. But sometimes where the mind goes, it helps in some way, doesn't it? And I've got a clue. But have I questioned God? Yeah. After all these years of being a Christian, you question God? Yeah. Because I've said to God, this is unfair. This is not right. This is not proper. My wife should not be going through this. Lord, I don't understand it. I'd sooner go through it, Lord, than her.
Mm.
I'd sooner you have put this on me than her. But I know God didn't put it on her, and He won't put it on me, because God doesn't put sickness on anybody. Let me make that straight. She's sitting there, sick, but I'm not saying God's put it on her. You understand that? But I'm angry, because it's still there. And it hurts. And I came out one day, sat in my car again, I was just about to burst into tears, and this scripture came to me. Let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise. And I thought, Lord, if I'm going to praise you now, I don't feel like it. I'm upset about my dear wife. If I praise you, this is going to be a real sacrifice. Because it's not something I want to do. But Lord, your word says it. So I'm going to do it. So instead of crying, I started to praise God. And give thanks to God for His goodness and His love.
Yes.
I didn't give thanks to God because my wife's got dementia. Not as stupid as that. But I gave thanks to God because of the goodness of God.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I refuse that. That's the devil. I'm not going to let you put me into a black hole. I refuse. I don't understand everything in life. I wish I did. Preachers don't understand everything. We can't understand sometimes why the bad things happen. And bad things can happen to good people.
Yes.
Yes, they can.
Yep.
And yes, they do. And some of you know it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
But I refuse to sit there and say, well, God, I'm not happy with you now. I'm not, because this has happened, I'm not happy. I refuse that because I know that somehow, some way, as that beautiful song told us when we sang the first song, somehow, some way, God will turn this around for our good. Amen?
Amen. Yes. Yes.
And I'll tell you what, when I get to heaven with my wife, she will not have dementia.
Yes.
Amen, that's right.
Come on.
Yes.
When I was a young man, a young Christian man, just started preaching, my sister died of a tumor on the brain. She was 32 years of age. She'll have two young girls. I want to tell you that shook me, that knocked me, that rocked me. I led her to the Lord. And she died in a terrible, painful way. Horrible. And I remember getting so upset with God over that one, that many, many years ago. And I started to read about 3 weeks after she'd been buried. I was reading Revelation where it says, and God will wipe away all tears. There'll be no more sighing, no more tears, no more sighing, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, for the former things have passed away. And as I was reading that, God says to me, John, I want you to know something. Your sister no longer has a tumor. She's with me for eternity.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
My spirit lifted. That was back then. Well, it lifted again a few months ago when I sat outside that nursing home and I just wanted to complain and I just wanted to have a pity party and I just wanted to tell God how this unfair this is. And instead I thought, nah. Because I know that no matter what appears to be around me, God is good.
Amen.
And there's a scripture that I can't explain to you. I wish I could. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. In all things. I don't understand that scripture, but I believe it. I don't understand how God could take these things and turn them around for our good. Things in your life that's happened, you couldn't explain. How could that be good, John? How could God do anything? I don't know how He could do it, but I know this. If He created the cosmos, He could turn everything that happens to us to good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He can do it. Somehow, somewhere, maybe not here on earth, but certainly in eternity. Glory.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes. So stop looking for black holes. There's plenty of black holes all around you. Stop looking there. Look to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Look to Jesus, who loves you and cares for you and wants to lift you. And lastly, very quickly, when you start to praise God, two things happen. you start to inspire your hope and you ignite your faith. Mm. Come on.
Yes.
I sat in that car that day outside that nursing home, ready to have a pity party. And I could have been justified. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm. But instead I started to praise God. I sat in behind the wheel, I started the car, and I started to praise Him and thank Him for all His goodness and love. And something happened. Something happened that is spiritual that you can't really put into words. Suddenly my spirit was elevated. Suddenly I felt so good. Suddenly I felt so released because my faith was ignited in God because I took the time to offer to Him the sacrifice of praise and truth. And I was doing it out loud.
Mm.
What meant sitting behind my car wheel like this? I said, thank you, Lord. You're a good God. You're a wonderful. A lady came to me a couple of weeks ago. She says, you talk about praising God so much. How do you go about praising God? What do you do? How do we do it? I said, simple. When you praise God, you are quoting the Word of God. Because you're saying things. If I said, oh, I've already said to you, God is good. And you say, amen, I heard you.
Mm.
Well, do you know why we know God is good? Because the Bible says so.
Yes.
Psalm 119, God is good and what He does is good. Mm. Oh God, you're majestic. Well, the Bible says He's majestic. Mm. You're full of love. Well, the Bible says He's God is love. Mm. You're graceful and compassionate. Well, the Bible tells us He is. Every time I praise God, I'm quoting God's Word.
Amen.
I'm telling God I believe what He says about Himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm doing. Every time I praise, I go to the Psalms and I get phrases out of the Psalms whereby I praise God through these phrases. And every time you praise God, every single time, you're actually quoting Scripture. Glory to God.
Amen.
So go search your Scriptures this week. In fact, here's something. Here's a little homework for you all. Don't know if you get homework very often. You're getting it today. Ready? And the kids as well. This is homework for you guys. But it's homework for them as well. I want you to search the Scriptures and find five phrases out of the book of Psalms of which you can praise God.
Mm.
You can turn those phrases into praise.
Yeah.
Five, that's what I must need to do this week. Look to the book of Psalms, get five phrases and start to use them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm. Come on.
Amen.
You've got to do it, friends.
Yes.
And it was lovely singing those songs this morning, and I loved them. By the way, the first song I really loved, that was a beautiful song, that first one. I love praising God, but it doesn't finish it. See, it's not, well, we're going to close in prayer in a minute, and have a coffee, and then off you go. And that's it till next Sunday. No!
Yeah.
You praise God throughout the day. You get up tomorrow morning, you start praising God. And you say, that's not like it, Pastor. You don't know what sort of a wife I've got. Doesn't matter. You don't know what sort of husband I've got. You don't know my kids are. Doesn't matter. He's good.
Amen.
He's not your wife.
Amen.
He's not your husband. He's not your kids. Thank God for that.
Amen.
He's above it all. He will always remain good. So faith is, praise is going to ignite your faith. Is going to inspire your hope. And don't believe that.
That's right.
Dear me. Don't you think you need it?
Yeah.
Come on, do you need to have your faith and hope inspired?
Amen.
Well, those of you now who are listening to me, it's not meaning anything to you. Can I just tell you, you're in a black hole. God help you, you're in a black hole.
Yes.
You're in a black hole. And you need to say, God, get me out of this place.
Mm.
Help me to see life as it really is. Help me to see you as you really are.
Mm.
Help me to be inspired to praise you because I know a better day is coming.
Mm.
And the most wonderful thing about being a Christian is this. We're going to go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
This isn't it.
That's right.
Yeah.
This isn't it. Paul says, if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, we are of all men most miserable.
Mm.
This isn't it. We've got a hope of eternity, a hope of the future in Him, where there's no more sin,
no more
sickness, no more rents, no more mortgages, no more MasterCard, no more politicians. Hallelujah! That's where we're going to a place of wonderful, marvelous, glorious bliss with our Creator. We'll be creating with Him through our eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Now, does that inspire?
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And let me ask you, did it inspire
Amen.
Any of you?
Yes.
Say yes if it did.
Yes.
Say
yes.
No if it didn't. Well, I want you this week to go into a place where you're going to say, God, I'm going to take you and read that scripture, Hebrews 13:15. I'm going to take you to your word, Lord. I'm going to offer to you the sacrifice of Christ. And in so doing, I believe I'm going to be inspired. My faith's going to be ignited. And I'm going to have a good week.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to have a good week. Father, thank you for everybody here.
Yes, Lord.
I just bless you for them all. Lord, you know what? Different people are going through different problems, different tests. They bear different burdens. But you know, Lord. But I pray that this week will be a week where we turn our face to you. Lord, we'll get away from this stupid reality TV. We'll stop putting the spotlight on ourselves and on this world. And stop looking at ourselves through a magnifying glass. Lord, but we'll start to look at you and see your beauty, your glory, your majesty. And Lord, we can see it as we look into the heavens. And we can see it as we look into your word. May we be people today who love your word and read your word. And we just soak it in.
Amen.
And may this week be a week where we practice praise like we never have before. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Not enough people said it. Everybody said,
Amen. Amen.
Everybody shouted,
Amen.
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 Hang on, that was just about all of you. You've all just said, Amen, in agreement with what I've said. Well, watch out. Because you better start praising God this week because he just heard you say amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I agree.
Amen.
So you agree with that, so do it.
Amen.
God bless you. Thanks, folks. Lovely to be with you.